Good morning. I'm really starting to really be bothered seeing those flags at half-mast so often. Really bothers me. There's a reason why we're here today. We're here today because we believe in something that is better and more precious, nobler, and good. We believe in something good. And we despise the evil. And we don't believe that that is what we're meant for. That we are meant for glory, to be in God's glory and to share that glory and to express it and to praise it and to honor it as we've done here this morning. And that is why we are here this morning, to honor God, to lift up that which is truly good and noble and wonderful and beautiful and light and hold it up and say we acknowledge that. It exists and we want to be part of it. That's why we're here. And when we see tragedies, when children gun down other children, even in our own area, in our own community, we see that tragedy, it reaffirms what we're committed to, and why it is that we proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, a message of love and peace and forgiveness, of goodness and rightness, is what people need, is what we need. I want to ask you a question this morning. It's a pretty straightforward question. It's a question that everybody needs to ask themselves. I'll ask you this morning, do you want to go to heaven or hell?
Heaven.
Amen, brother. I want to go to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? Absolutely. Anybody who has even a smidgen of faith or belief that heaven and hell exists, anybody who has any concept that hell exists, surely they would say, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And yet, by the way that people behave and the choices that they make in their life, I have to ask myself, when they say that. I don't really mean by that I doubt their faith or their conviction that heaven and hell exist, because that's certainly part of it. If you don't act like you want to go to heaven, then you got to really question if you believe that it exists. But it's something a little more even fundamental than that. If you really would want to go to heaven, you think that heaven is the place that you want to be, and you really don't want to go to hell, then my question to you would be this. Why do you push heaven away in your life? And why would you invite hell into your life? That's my topic this morning. Bringing heaven or hell into our lives. And it's based on a fairly simple idea of what heaven is and what hell is. What do you imagine heaven is? Most people have the idea that it's some kind of really fancy retirement home. You know, it's golden streets and pearly gates and really good fixtures and plumbing and I guess that's what they think. Mansions and really nice decorations, and they've got a really good a coffee bar maybe, or what do you think heaven is? And of course, hell, you know, using some language from the Bible, language that we're going to look at, you know, is a place of fire and darkness and torment. And when we think of heaven and hell in those terms, it is so otherworldly to what we have in this life. It's some place you will go after this life is over with, heaven or hell. And one is certainly a whole lot better than the other, and I want to go to heaven and I don't want to go to hell. But here's the thing. What makes heaven heaven is who's there. God, mostly. But people who have embraced and who practice the character and qualities of God. That's what makes heaven heaven. And you know what makes hell hell? Well, God's not there, mostly. But the people who are there, the people who will be in hell, are people who have embraced the mind and thoughts and practices of hell. So I have to really question sometimes when people say, well, I want to go to heaven, but they don't act like it. They act like hell is in their life. They act like they want hell in their life. Think about it this way. Which do you want in your life? You want heaven or hell in your life? Because it's a choice between God's presence or God's absence. That's the choice. As I've said, what makes heaven heaven is God's there. And wherever God is, wherever God is, that's heaven. That's what makes it heaven, is God, His presence. And what makes hell hell is God's not there. It is away from His presence. Now here's my question again. Do you want God in your life or not? Because if you don't want God in your life now, what makes you think that you sincerely and really want Him in your life when you're dead? Revelation 21 and verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. What makes heaven heaven is that God is there, and we will be with Him. That's what makes heaven heaven. He will dwell with us. We will be His people. Do you want that? Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am among them. Why did you come here today? Well, I would like to think that you came here today because you desire to be in the presence of God. That you want God in your life. That God's qualities and attributes, His love, His mercy, His goodness, His character, that they are attractive to you, and you want that in your life. We come here and we just sang a song about it. We did. We sang a song honoring and praising God, and we're talking to Him. We're talking to Him as if He were right here, because in a very real way, He is. He's here. Not because of this building, this structure, this place. It's because of Him inviting us to worship Him and us accepting the invitation. We have come together in this place to come into God's presence in spirit and honor Him and pour out our hearts to Him and to think about Him because we want Him in our life. But if you're not here, what are you saying? What are you saying if you don't come to church? What does that mean? You know, you're not going to hell because you don't go to church. You're going to hell because that's where you want to be. You think about it. That's what you're choosing. If you don't want to be in God's presence, you don't have to be, and you won't be. James 4 and verse 8, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you want to be in God's presence or not? Do you pray to Him? Because if you don't pray to God, then are you really interested in being in His presence? Do you listen to God? Do you read your Bible? Do you think about the things that God is trying to say to you? Because if you don't, then do you really want to be in God's presence? Second Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Now, people say, well, I don't want that. I don't want to be destroyed with everlasting fire. I don't want to be cast out into eternal darkness. Really? Because what we're talking about is being away from the presence of God. And a lot of people seem to be really attracted to that concept right now in their life. They have no interest in God. Now, what makes you think that's not what you're choosing, to be away from the presence of God? You're shutting yourself out from the presence of God in your life. If you don't invite God into your life, if you don't become a Christian and worship and honor God and pray to Him and study His Word and get together with other Christians and talk about God and relish the presence of God in your life, if none of those things are interesting to you, then what makes you think that this isn't just exactly where you want to be? Shut out from the presence of God. Hebrews 12:25, see to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from Him who warns us from heaven? You turn your back on God, you are choosing hell. Hell is not a punishment that God inflicts upon the unwilling. God is allowing you to make that choice for yourself. And if you don't want to listen to God, you don't want to hear Him, you don't have to be. You don't have to be near God. But why would you make that choice? Why would you choose that in your life? To bring hell into your life. You know what? It's a choice between righteousness and evil, right? You know what makes prison so bad? I've only visited prisons. I've never had to take up occupation. And they're not pleasant places, you know. They're pretty drab and pretty spare, and I'm sure the quarters are not the nicest in the world, and the food's probably not very good, but what makes prison prison is who's there. You know, there are people in this world who live in pretty miserable circumstances, but they're not miserable. They have joy, they have God, they have good company. And there are other people who live in opulence and wealth and comfort that you cannot even begin to imagine, and they are miserable because of the people that they're around and the thinking in their head and what's in their life. Hell is in their life even in the most lush circumstances. And then there's other people who are in abject poverty, and they have heaven in their life. Because you understand, don't you? You understand that heaven and hell are more than just furniture. It's about what's in your heart and what you choose to practice. What makes prison so awful are the awful people who are there. And they're there because they're awful. They can't get along with others. And then you get thrown in with the rest of them. And that is not a pleasant circumstance. Well, people choose hell in their life when they choose to do evil. And people choose heaven in their life when they choose to do good. 2 Peter 3, verse 13, "But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." No flags at half-mast in that place, as Randy talked about this morning. This is not paradise, my friend. And yet so much of what is true of paradise can be present in your life and in your experiences in this life if you will welcome God into your heart and you will behave as a citizen of heaven. Because what makes heaven heaven is that it is a place where righteousness dwells. And you can have righteousness dwelling in your life right here. It's not perfect. It's not everything heaven's going to be. And yet more and more as you practice righteousness, practice the will and the love and the goodness of God, you are welcoming what makes heaven heaven into your life. Revelation 19, verse 8. "It was given to her," talking about the saints in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. "It was given to her," the church, the bride of Christ, "it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." You know, people think about, oh, I wonder what we're going to wear in heaven. We're, you know, going to have these nice silky white robes. Well, I don't know about that. But I know that a big part of what makes heaven such a happy and joyous and wonderful place is that. The good that we will be doing for one another. In what capacity? I have no idea. I don't know. But it'll be good. But we can have a lot of that goodness right now. Matthew 7, verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know what makes heaven heaven? Everything follows the will of God. Everything. Everything is according to the will of God. We want more of that now. We want more of it now in our neighborhoods and in our schools. We want more of heaven now in our families, our homes. And we can have it if we will submit ourselves to the will of God. More heaven now. All of it later. More now. Revelation 21, "The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." You know, a big part of what makes hell hell is not the ambiance. It's who's there. And when we practice sexual immorality, when we practice adultery, when we practice fornication, when we practice lying, When we do things that are vile and detestable, we are inviting hell into our life. We're just getting warmed up, so to speak, for something that we really shouldn't want. Things in our life that make us and everybody around us miserable. And all hell is that that's all that there's going to be. Just the things that make us miserable. But we have a lot of that right now because we invite it into our life. And it's so foolish. It's so unnecessary. Revelation 21, verse 27, nothing impure will ever enter it. We're talking about heaven now. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see the point? If you want to be in the place where there is nothing impure, and there's nothing shameful, and there's nothing deceitful, then why do you want those things now in your life? Why? Why do you want to be deceitful? Why do you want to do something that's shameful? Why do you want to do something that's impure? Those are hell things. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Drive those qualities of hell out of our life. We don't want them. We don't want any of them. Put on the armor of light. Do good things. Decent things. Be kind to people. Be merciful and compassionate. Those are God qualities. Those are heaven qualities. Forgiveness or recrimination. You see, that's what you got to decide. What do you want in your life? What do you want your life to have when this world is past and you're dead and gone and you go and you face God in judgment? Do you want forgiveness or recrimination? Which one do you want? Do you want to be in a place of forgiveness or a place of endless whining and misery and hatefulness and recrimination and blaming? Which one of those two places do you want to be in? Revelation 7 and verse 14, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What makes the robes white is not detergent. It's forgiveness. It's mercy. And the beauty of heaven and the light, the glory, the Shekinah of God that will emanate from us is a consequence of forgiveness. What a wonderful, divine, heavenly quality. Why wouldn't I want to embrace it now? To be white, pure and white, in the blood of the Lamb. I can have it now. To seek God's mercy and to extend it to others. But I tell you, Matthew 5, 44 and 45, I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Heaven is a place of forgiveness. There's no blaming. No recriminations, no, none of that. Why wouldn't I want that now? Child of God now, to practice heavenly qualities now. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father, will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. You see, it's not something that you do, forgiving people, because I just want to get out of this world and get on to the next world where I don't ever have to deal with people anymore. Well, it's a little more to it than that. If you welcome into your mind, into your heart, this thought process of being compassionate and forgiving and loving and kind, instead of being hateful and bitter and accusatory, and you welcome those qualities of forgiveness into your heart, heaven is not just some place you're going to get to go to. Heaven is a place that you already are in a lot of ways. Matthew 5:22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. You know, the reason that you shouldn't be hateful and vengeful and bitter is not just because of what God's going to do to you, it's because of what you're doing to yourself. You're making yourself a child of hell. That's what you're doing. James 3:6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. You see that? When you let yourself spew vileness and hate and acrimony and bitterness, you already got hell going on. You've invited it into your life. And finally, joy or bitterness. Those are the choices. Joy or bitterness. Well, who would choose bitterness over joy? Doesn't joy sound so much better? It surely does. Matthew 5:21, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." The joy of our master. Enter into the joy of God. Well, who wouldn't want that? Well, a lot of people don't want it. Apparently, they don't want it because they don't want it now. They don't want to be in the joy of their master now. They don't give any thought to what God wants or how He might bring them joy in their life. Instead, they choose a lot of not joy, a lot of hate and a lot of ugliness and bitterness and unhappiness. They gravitate toward those things. They kind of wallow in them. Instead of trying to drive them out of their life, they do more and more things to bring unhappiness into their life. We want to be this person who enters into the joy of our master. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Heaven is not just the place where we will go and get to rejoice in the presence of God. We can do that now. It'll be better then. It can be good now. Rejoice in the Lord always. But a lot of people don't do that. They don't rejoice in the Lord. They don't do it ever, or hardly ever. Matthew 13:41-42, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping and the gnashing of the teeth are happening even right now. When people just, they do vile things and they have relationships where they just do bad things and people do bad things to them and it's just tit for tat and, you know, I hurt you, you hurt me. The weeping and the gnashing of the teeth have already started. Why would you want that in your life? Why would you want that? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want it when this life is over with. Why do you want it now? Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Those are hell qualities. That's what those are. Why would you want that? Heaven or hell, that's the choice that you have. Which one do you want when your life is over? Well, which one are you choosing right now? Which one? It's one or the other. You want God in your life? When this life is over with, then you must want God in your life right now. And the way that you invite God into your life right now is you obey the gospel. You say with your mouth, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You see the qualities of God and Jesus, and you say, I embrace that. I want that. I want His love. I want His goodness, His mercy, His tenderness, His compassion for people. I want that in my life. I want to follow Jesus Christ. And then you get down in this water back here, and you say, I want to wash my robes in the blood of the Lamb. And heaven is already starting to enter into your life. And you come and you worship with us as we seek God's presence. And we dedicate ourselves to righteousness and not evil. And we dedicate ourselves to forgiveness and not acrimony and recrimination. And we dedicate ourselves to joy and not misery. And if you want that for your life, you know what you need to do. Invite heaven into your life this morning. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.
284. What will your answer be? Someday you'll stand at the bar. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of heart. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will
spotless and free.